Last week, we looked at the Apostle Paul and the shipwreck there in Acts chapter 28, 27 and 28, and we had titled that, How to Recover from a Storm, and we looked at that. I, this morning, want to look at Job, how to get through hard times, and it's just not by coincidence that we're looking at subjects and dealing with subjects that really kind of fit you and I today and the world around us and what the church is dealing with, what you're individually dealing with, and what your family, what you have to do as collective, your families that are representative here in the church. And so this morning's title is How to Get Through Hard Times. Now we're going to read about a man that is very familiar. If you know your Bible, this man has went through quite a bit, and we're going to get into this because we have some reading. I want to read pretty much the whole first chapter, and then we'll make our points, and I will try not to be too long. So let's get to this. It says in Job chapter 1 and verse 1, There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen. And 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat, to drink with them. Let me stop right here and give just a little bit of context. A lot of times people ask, what's the land of Uz? And he says it was the king, a man, the greatest man of the east. It was, if you do the research on Uz, it's Edom. That's where he was at. And so this is an early book, probably one of the earliest books written if you go in chronological dates. And so somewhere before 1700 BC, 1870 BC. So if you look at it and study it, so this is early. And so we want to also remember that Elihu probably was the writer of this book, as theologians look at it. Elihu is one of the men in this story. So let's look at this. And we'll read on. That's just a sidebar. And his sons, verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. You look at that, it said his day. That could be like my day was yesterday. I had cake and ice cream. I had ribs, mashed potatoes, corn. So his day could be a reference to their birthday. So they were celebrating their birthdays. Could be, I don't know. But it says, everyone his day, verse 4, and sent and called for his 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. This gets very interesting right in here. Pay attention to what is said and then what isn't said. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. This is while people are living on the earth. Satan is able to do whatever he wants down here on earth, pretty much within reason. We'll see his limits here, but notice as this unfolds. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Notice what the words are used here by Satan himself. You're going to see that go through. There was somebody else in this story we're going to read about, just by note, that somebody had made the advice to give to Job to curse God and die. It's funny how these words come together and who comes up with them. Watch this. But put forth thine hand. That was his wife, by the way. He says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Okay, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I want you to notice something else. It wasn't God who took things from Job. It was Satan who took things from Job. And so verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven. Well, that's Satan. That's not God, okay? So notice how the story, you know, he don't know. He thinks it's God sending this. And hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, and I have carried them away, yea, and slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And notice, verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I of my mother's womb, out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you. And Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, for this true story unfolds. And Father, we see that a man as such as Job, his father is looked at and attacked by Satan himself. And Father, we're thankful that he was able to stand true to you. And Father, as we see this and we look at this and we parallel ourselves to this man, Job, Father, we ask and wonder if we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and Father, the attacks of Satan. And Father, we want to look at this scripture. Be with me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. But Father, we also want to pray for those that have come out and are listening, that you would bless their hearts, bless their minds, and Father, give them something from your word that can be effectively used in their lives this week. Now be with our church, be with our pastor. I pray that you would strengthen him. I pray that you would lift him up and his wife, Sister Joyce, and that he would return, Father, to the work of the ministry. Now be with them, be with us. I ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here we find this morning, looking at this chapter, this is very exciting. I like to read the book of Job, not for the bad things that happen, but because of how the interaction with God and with Satan. That is fascinating to me. And a lot of times we think, well, Satan is a being, you know, he has power. We understand he's a created being. We understand that he doesn't know everything that we think. But this, I'm going to call him a dude, this smutty face, this Satan, he is a character, and you need to watch out for him. Notice how this all kind of turns that God is doing this to Job. God isn't doing this to Job. God knows something about Job. He knows that he's a strong man. He knows he's eschews evil and that he's upright. And so he asks Satan if he sees that. And Satan says, yeah, I understand that. I see that. But it's not for naught. It's not just because he thinks you're God and he loves you. But you give him things. You've put a hedge about him. You've blessed his hands. You've blessed his family. You've blessed everything he had. You take that from him and he'll curse you to your face. So Satan had looked at Job. He understood and he thought he knew what made Job tick. And pretty much that's what makes all of us tick. If God were to take, or Satan were to take everything away from you, would you curse God to his face? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not Job. And so I begin to wonder about that. But here's what I want to dwell on and to draw your attention to this morning. How to get through hard times. Most certainly we all could say this morning that Job had went through and is going through some hard times. Now, I'm pretty certain that just about everybody in here, I don't know everybody in here, but I would probably more than likely say that you probably hadn't been through everything that Job had went through. You could probably come close. Probably some of you probably could come close. And we won't get into all that, but I want you to notice what Job did do. Not just what he didn't do, but what he did do. But I want to bring up some points about like Satan. Satan is the one taking things from Job, not God. I understand God said, yeah, okay, give him a trial. But he didn't know what Satan was going to do. Well, Satan went after him, and you see what actually he took off. There was another incident, if you read chapter 2, where he sees God again, and they ask, and they talk about Job again, and he goes after Job. And God tells him, take everything it has, but don't take his life. And so he ends up taking everything, and so we see what happens. But here's what I want to get to. Notice with me in verse 20, and most of all, what we're going to look at is in verse 20, 21, and 22. And so we're going to look at five things, and I'm saying how to get through hard times. You say, well, if Job's able to get through this hard time in his life, as Satan messes with everything that he's has, everything he's enjoyed, everything that he's thought he's got from God, Satan seems to disrupt, taking it or destroyed it. Well, what does he do? How can he do this? Well, if Job can do this, we surely today can do the same thing. So we notice in verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Now, he wasn't worshiping himself. He certainly wasn't worshiping Satan. He was worshiping his God. It was the God that started all this thing. In verse 1, he says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That is the same man. You say, what happened? Well, he lost about everything that he had, including his family. And so it says here that he fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. The first thing I want you to notice, is Job worshiped God. Now, going through a hard time, going through a struggle, going through a storm in your life, it's going to be hard to get your mind and your heart around the fact that the best thing that you can do going through that storm or hard time is worship God. You know, fall down on your knees and worship God, because he ultimately, according to this story, true story, is that he's in charge. Now, you say, but how could God allow Satan to do all that to a man that was perfect, upright, feared God, and eschewed evil? Well, I look at it like this. If Job, a man good and right with God, wholesome, can do it, what do you think's about you and I? Are you worthy of a trial? Are you worthy of God saying, have you looked at my servant so-and-so? And what would Satan say about you? Now, he knew Satan already had, he had his itinerary for Job already out. He knew exactly what he thought Job's deal was. Well, you've blessed him. And so he said, if you take all that away, he'll curse you to your face. That's all that Job's made up of, is you taking care of him, giving him everything that he needs and his family and everything. You take that away from him and he'll curse you to his face, to your face. And so Job would think that he'll have you marked out, set out. He'll know exactly how to push your buttons. And so I'm looking at this and I see that not only Job worshiped God, but you think, man, he took my family. He said he had daughters and sons, and they died. The house, a strong wind from the wilderness blew in and destroyed the house, and they all died. If God were to take your family members, maybe your sons and your daughters, maybe your wife or your husband, would you still worship God? The first thing I would think, I don't know if I'd still be thinking, God, let's worship God. Here we see that Job worshiped God. He had the right attitude towards God in this trial, worshiping God. So you see that not only did he fell down upon the ground and worshiped God, but there's something else there. Verse 21, he says, and said, this is what Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Watch this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see that not only did Job worship God at this point in time of his life, during this crisis, if you please, but he praised God. You see the latter part of verse 21, he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is hard to do when you're going through a hard time. The last thing you want to say, the last thing that comes from your lips or your heart, is blessed be the name of the Lord. Because in the back of my mind, the back of your mind and heart is, why would God allow that? Isn't that what everybody asks? I get asked that a lot. Why would God allow children to get cancer and die? There can't be a God that's just. And so when we view a question like that or that scenario, we know that happens. And it's sad when you look at those pictures, or it's sad when you go down to Children's Hospital and you see what the families and people are going through and children are going through, innocent little children. You can't help but ask that question. Why would God allow this to happen? Well, a lot of that, because of our finite mind, we're not able to see everything from start to finish in eternity. God is. He's an infinite mind. And what looks like something that could not be of God, be right with God, you think God could never allow this, because we think when things are good, we think everything's wonderful and beautiful, everything's great and alive. That's our human mind. That's our finite mind. That's how we equate good and evil, just and right, fair and unfair. But in God's eyes, having an infinite mind, able to look through that, even in this, dealing with Satan himself and saying, okay, take everything that he has, but don't take his life. That's scary. And so Satan knew exactly what he meant. Don't kill Job, but I can take his kids. Don't kill Job, but I can take his camel, his livelihood, and everything else that he has. And what do we see that Job doing? He was worshiping God. After he got this news, and he praised God. Blessed be the name of God. How could you say that? It's because our hearts and our minds sometimes aren't in tune. Here, we see the struggle through 42 chapters of Job, dealing with how does Job wrap his mind around this. He doesn't ever understand why this happened to him, other than that God knew he would be faithful even to the end. And as we look and put ourselves in the same story, could you and I be faithful to the end? Just putting ourselves in this scenario, this trial. God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to worship Him. God wants us to praise Him. God wants us to have the right attitude toward God. And so we begin to see and analyze, do I really love God? Can I really depend on God when I go through a storm? Can I depend on Him well enough to say, I'll worship You even in this hard time? Can I depend on myself to really love God, to know that I will bless His name even in the midst of this storm? And so, how to get through hard times? Well, let's look on and we'll see what Job has. Notice in verse 21, I want to analyze this just a little bit closer. Let's take the magnifying glass and examine this. He says here in verse 21 again, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Wow, what are you saying? I'm saying this thirdly, that Job accepted the bad from God. Job accepted the bad from God. Now, his wife, and I don't want to look at too much of her character, but she didn't look like it appeared that she didn't. And she said later on in chapter 2 there, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? And so she was done with the thing. She had lost her daughters and her sons, and her whole livelihood has been destroyed. And her husband looked like he was about ready to die at that time, later on in this story. But that was her advice. And so when we look at this, Job acknowledged, Job accepted, if you please, the bad from God. You know, we are okay with accepting the good from God in our lives. I'm very much excited when God answers prayer. I'm very much excited when God blesses me with a job or blesses me with being able to pay my bills and move through my life. And I like that. I love that. But what about when the bad comes? All of a sudden we think God's detached from us. All of a sudden we think that God's not in control because we have to go through a trial or we have to go through a storm or something bad happens to you or your family. Is God still there? God's still there. And we see this through the character of Job, that Job accepted the bad from God. Let me ask you this morning, in your trial, in your storm, are you able and willing to accept the bad from God? Because ultimately God gave the orders to Satan. Satan was the one that carried it out. And it didn't seem like he wasted any time in getting started. But you have to understand that here Job was able, even in this, he might not have known everything that went on, We get to see the throne room. We get to see the interaction between God and Satan and what takes place. Job didn't. Job just experienced what he went through, what happened, what Satan did to him. But God here, we see that he still accepted the bad from God. He said, even the good and the bad from God. We're seeing thirdly that Job accepted the bad from God. He worshiped God. He praised God. He had the right attitude. But here we're seeing that Job accepted this bad or evil thing from God. And so we see here, now I want, we didn't read this, but to develop these other two parts, I want to look at Job chapter 13. And I didn't think I could read all these, but I want to notice these verses that he begins to lay out later on as this unfolds. And his friends come into play, and he begins to deal with them and analyze what took place during this hard time or this storm in his life. And so we see here in verse chapter 13, notice with me, this is you probably heard this verse before, verse 15. And Job states this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will remain mine own ways before him. My own ways before him. You see, what are you saying? I'm saying all the way through this, we looked at Job being able to worship God as soon as he heard all this bad and seeing that everything that had been taken from him. We also saw that Job was able to praise God, bless his name. We also understood that Job was able and willing in his heart and his mind that he was willing to accept this bad from God. And that's about where we kind of step out of the picture in our storms in our life. Well, this bad, I can't do it. I'm mad at God. And so we shove God away in our relationship and we get cold on God, and Satan's won a victory. So the next time God and Satan match up for you, you say, yeah, Satan said, yeah, I told you. You take everything from him, you give him a little bad, and they'll curse you to your face. They'll quit coming to church. They'll quit tithing. They quit worshiping you in name, in word. They quit being a witness or a testimony for you. They quit doing the work of the ministry because they just don't want to. They're cold on God. Satan is able and willing to do that to you and I. The Bible said, and we looked Wednesday, that he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he walketh about like a lion, a roaring lion. And so you say, well, I'm exempt from that. You're not exempt, and neither am I. And Job here, as well as God lays out from Scripture, a man that eschewed evil was upright and perfect before God. As the eyes of men, hey, Satan jumped right on him, no problem. And we see that he had real faith in God. Let me read that verse again. I'm in Job 13. He says, though he slay me, if God takes my life, yet will I trust in him. If God takes your life, it might not be an instant. It might take 6 months to a year to take your life. You can go like that, but God might not allow you to go that way. He might send you in another path, another direction. Are you okay with that? Are you willing to trust him in that? Job here had real faith in God. It seems like our faith in the faith of Christians today is, well, if I've got to go through something hard, or if I got to struggle through this Christian life, then I'm out. I'm done. If it's not a bed of roses, if it didn't plan out or work out the way I want it to, then I'm out. I'm done. And it doesn't take much to get you and I sidetracked because we don't have real faith in God. Are you willing to accept the bad from God? And do you have real faith in God? And lastly, let me look at our fifth point. Turn with me. We're moving to the right there in Job. Turn over to chapter 19. I want you to notice another verse. And then I'm going to go to Ephesians and try to pull it down to you and I today. But Job chapter 19, notice with me verse 25. And I want you to notice that Job's knowledge stayed sure in God. It didn't waver. Where you and I or Christians want to falter in our Christian life, we want to get sidetracked because of the storms or a hard time or a difficult time. We think if it is not over in a day or 2 days or a week, we can't deal with it. Well, sometimes this thing might take years. You might live with something like the Apostle Paul did and ask and pray for the grace of God, because God said, I'm not going to take the thorn out of your flesh, out of your side. I'm going to let you live with it because my grace is sufficient. Here, notice with me, I'm saying Job's knowledge stayed sure in God. Watch chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He knew something about God, the God that he had worshiped, the God that he had blessed his name, the God that he had praised, and the God that he accepted the bad from, and the God that he knew he had real faith in. He states this. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." I know this certainly from Scripture now, that God will stand one day here on this earth with you and I and everybody else. He's real. It's going to happen. And I find it funny, this is another sidebar, is that Satan here in this story, he's here. But you notice there's a list of people in this world that want you to think that there's no such thing as Satan. Satan don't exist. You can go through a whole list of people and what they believe, and one of them will be Satan's not real. He's a figment of your imagination. Well, let me tell you this about Satan. If you read scriptures and study him, his greatest trick is to deceive. And I would say somewhere around about 85% of people don't believe there's a real devil. He's very good at what he does. His stats and his statistics are good because he's that good at it. I'm telling you, according to this, he's real. He's real. And here he dealt and messed with Job's life to try to get him to curse God to his face. Let me ask you, if you deal with Satan thinking that maybe God's taking everything away from you, don't think it lightly. God knows what's going on, but it might not be God. It might be Satan messing with you to see if you'll curse God, if you won't praise God, if you won't worship God, if you won't stand true to your God. I'm saying God's knowledge stayed sure in God. Turn with me to Ephesians, and we're going to close this morning. I said it wouldn't be long, but I want to read this, and this kind of brings some of this back home. Ephesians, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, start reading in verse 10. It says, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places," this is where Satan dwells, this is what he's speaking of, the Apostle Paul is writing that, look, there's a spiritual thing here, "might be known by the church." He wants us to understand and know this. Now watch this. "The manifold wisdom of God." We need to know something about the wisdom of God. Job worked his way through that and found and began to learn and found out that he had learned about the wisdom of God. God puts a lot of questions to Job later on in the book of Job, but notice with me in verse 11 here in Ephesians, "according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him," who? That's God. "By his faith," watch this, "wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family," that's you and I, he says, "in heaven," some of us are in heaven, some of us lost loved ones, saved loved ones, they're in heaven, "and in earth," that's you and I, "is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." That is where our power comes from. You see, how was Job able to get through this? How was Job able to experience this type of a storm or this struggle in his life, losing everything, and yet worship God, bless God's name, praise God's name, assure his faith was steadfast in God, yet he didn't know everything that went on? We know a whole lot more than Job knows, and we're looking at this and we're saying, he's saying here, we're strengthened by the might of the Spirit in our inner man. That's how you and I are strengthened. That's how you and I are able to worship God in hard times. That's how you and I are able to praise and bless God's name in hard times. Verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and heights, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Notice this. This is beautiful. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Listen, God is in charge, but you and I aren't, he's not finished with us yet. We've got storms, we've got trials, we've got good days, we've got bright days. But the good days and bright days, you're not going to need the Spirit of God as much as when you go through a storm, when you go through a hard times. Let me ask you this morning, are you able to get through a hard time in your life? You say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, you do this morning, because Job lays that out. And we can use Job, the character of Job, as a pattern. Notice with me Ephesians 2, and I want to close here with this. I know I'm past my time. Ephesians 2, he says, but God who is rich, I'm in full verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace are you saved. You say, how do Christians do this? It's because we're saved by God's grace. We are kept by God's power. This morning you say, well, I don't even know if I know God. Well, this morning is a good day to come to know God, because there are storms coming. I probably could show a hands. Everyone in here has experienced something pretty rough. Make you think and scratch your head why you should be here on earth. Those kind of problems. And I'm telling you this morning, the only way you get through that is through the grace of God and knowing that Jesus Christ dwells inside of you and the Spirit feeds you with the wisdom of God. This morning, let's all stand. You might not know, so I don't know if I know God that well. Well, this morning you need to confirm and you need to be assured that you know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. That'll make you a child of God. That'll make you a son of God. And according to John 1:12, that's who he gives power to become the sons of God, to them that receive him. See, how do I receive him? Very simply, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God. Secondly, you acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you know if you die in your sins, that you would not go to heaven, you would go to hell. And acknowledging that, knowing that you need a Savior, and that Savior, according to God in this scripture here, is his Son, Jesus Christ. He put it in place on the cross because he died for the sins of the world. That's you and I and whosoever that calls on his name. So this morning you say, how do I do that? It's not in membership. Oh, that would be great. It's not in baptism. Oh, that would be great. It's not in being good. That's a good thing and that's great. But all that doesn't add up to going to heaven. What adds up to going to heaven is simply believing and accepting that Jesus Christ is God, and you give your life to God. That's salvation. That's regeneration. If you've never done that, if you don't know if you've done that, you need to do that today, because there are hard times coming, and you're going to need answers to getting through those hard times. This morning, as he begins to play, I'd ask every head, every eye closed, every head bowed. And just think about the hard times that you know you've been through. For the saved person in here this morning, you know that it was God who got you through that. And I'll tell you, the next one coming, God will get you through that one too. It might be a little bit bigger. The waves might be a little bit higher. The wind might be a little bit stronger. But he'll get you through it. And through that, to be successful, to get through hard times, you need to worship God. You need to be willing and able to praise his name and to accept the bad from God. Not only the good, but accept the bad from God.